Listening to AmericasWebRadio.com, the pioneer and leader in chat radio. Thank you for listening.
Good morning, United States of America. You're listening to America's Web Radio, and it's time now for the infamous Dan and Dave Show. And a call.
I wish our president would have spoken with that kind of enthusiasm last night. I would have loved that.
He
could have come out and said, "Hey, everybody, it's going to be all right. The sun's going to come up, and we're going to kill them all
tomorrow. The sun's going to And then we were just singing Neil Sedaka's "Breaking Up Is Hard to Do." This is going to be a turn into a music. No, his little extravaganza of 13 minutes, you know, the reality of it, the best thing about last night's 13-minute speech was
only 13 minutes. That's right.
I couldn't have stood to watch that guy anymore. But, you know, as always, he says nothing.
Terrible. He just looked terrible. His eyes were dark and sunk. And
Be careful. You got to be PC,
miserable.
You know. Well, the thing was that if you notice, they only shot him from the chest up, and because he had his tux pants on, and he had to hurry out and put his tux shirt on. He had a big party to go to after the speech last night, and that's probably another reason he hurried it up and wanted to get it over with so he could move on to the big party. I wonder how much money we spend on that piece of garbage, carrying him around and doing stuff and dressing Mouchelle with her 100 servants. And yeah, but the speech was nothing. He said 13 minutes worth of nothing, except we need gun control.
Yeah, I'm just reading the transcript of the speech right now. He didn't say anything.
Well, I listened to it, and my wife was sitting there reading a book while the TV was on, and you know, I never know when she's paying attention or not paying attention, but you know, after the speech, she looked up at me and said, "What did he say? What was so important about what?" You know, nothing was important. And that's out of 8 years or 7 years now, that was his third time to address the nation from the Oval Office. And he didn't even do it presidentially. He stood in front of a podium instead of doing it from the desk like every other good president has done. This guy is such a loser. I mean, from...
Well, he said something that I wanted to talk about this morning. I'm sure you heard it. There was a sentence that said, "That does not mean denying the fact that an extremist ideology has spread within some Muslim communities. This is a real problem that Muslims must confront without excuse." That's a big sentence to me. I would say that extremist ideology has spread, and I totally agree it's a real problem that Muslims must confront without excuse. So, for 13 minutes he said nothing, but in that one sentence, I think it's a huge sentence.
Well, listening to the news last night and listening today, I haven't heard anybody address this, but what I got out of the whole speech was him defending and taking up and siding with the Muslims, and that statement too.
Yeah, most of the speech was that, wasn't it?
Yeah. And, you know, we're at fault, gun control, we're at fault. And don't throw rocks at the Muslims. They're not all bad. And, you know, and there are a very few minority of the Muslims that have gotten up and spoken out. Now, whether they're scared to or whatever, I can't address that. I don't know. But, you know, his statement, just like that statement that you made, the Muslims they have a problem, and they should, if they're going to stand up, they better start standing up pretty quick, or they're going to have a lot bigger problem as they try to swim the Atlantic or Pacific or wherever. I don't think people are going to hold back for much longer. And that's going to be sad.
And he kind of addressed that.
But who was listening to the jerk anyway? Who cares what? If he was a leader and he got up and said something, I think it would be important and people would pay attention to it. But basically, across the board today, most people are saying the idiot didn't say anything. He's not our leader. He's not a leader. So I don't think anybody's paying attention to him.
Well, CNN liked it. I listened to CNN's comments for about 5 minutes, and then I switched over to Fox. It was like they heard two different speeches. It's so interesting to do that.
Well, I mean, his whole thing is he wants to take weapons away. Well, let's start with how they got into the country to begin with. She lied all over the place. They've proven that. The weapons were not, they didn't buy the weapons, the ARs. A friend had bought them, and I say a friend, probably another perk jerk, bought them. Have you heard where he is right now, the guy that actually bought the ARs?
Yeah, he's in a...
He checked himself into a mental hospital.
Yeah, a mental hospital, which was smart. I don't know if that's part of his strategy, but I think he was pretty smart for doing that.
Catch me now.
Privacy laws.
Suppose a HIPAA.
And apparently the FBI are playing it real cool with this guy because they don't want to taint his credibility, or they don't want to taint how they treat him. I think they're looking at him as perhaps the connection with ISIS.
Well, and now, too, the mother is being looked at. She was in communications with a lot of not-so-nice people, and she, I didn't know my son was involved in any... Well, she's lying, too. They're checking her records, and she's been in... And this is where, again, Trump says... If you get one, get the whole family. He may know what he's talking about.
Well, it struck me as strange as the mother didn't, claim she didn't know what was going on. She lived in the same house.
Mm-hmm.
Yet she didn't really know anything was wrong. She thought it was, just another happy day.
All of the many shells, all of the ammunition, the dynamite or whatever they were planning to load the pipe by, that's normal in the United States. Don't you remember the Wild West? We're part of it now.
Maybe it's normal, but it's not normal in the United States. Let me read you another couple of questions of what it was in the speech last night. The president said, so far we have no evidence that the killers were directed by a terrorist organization overseas or that they were part of a broader conspiracy here at home. Let's stop right there. we have no evidence. and then the FBI comes on right after that, and they're following the trail of money. What is the trail of money but evidence that the killers were connected to, a broader conspiracy or perhaps overseas terror organizations?
Mm-hmm.
Then the president, it was just such a contrast. And then he goes on to say, but it is clear that the two of them had gone down the dark path of radicalization. That's an interesting characterization, dark path of radicalization. Yeah, I'd say it's a dark path, embracing a perverted interpretation of Islam that calls for war against America and the West. I don't know how perverted that interpretation is. To me, it looks like it might be more widespread than not.
Well, I think
don't know.
you hit it on the head with the money trail, and that here's a guy that's making $50,000 and there's $30,000 worth of ammunition and stuff in his garage. Where did that money come from? I couldn't pull $30,000 out of my $50,000 and continue to live one way or the other. I mean, that, you know, Obama covering it up is just, that's just Obama. I mean, he's done it on everything.
The weapons were somehow altered from their OEM state. They either went to full automatic or something, but I heard something in the news this morning that their weapons had been altered. Well, how did he know how to alter the weapons? That's not just common knowledge.
No.
You know, you toss me an AR or whatever and say alter it, I wouldn't know where to start.
Well,
you know what to do. But he
yeah,
did.
You,
he
you
did
start
it.
By ordering the parts and make it an automatic as opposed to a semi-automatic. And, you know, it is available, but in fact, I when I say it is available, it is, but I think it's, again, I think it's a ATF situation that you have to have to be approved to get it, you know, the parts that make it a automatic. Yeah, you know, they're just, you know, Obama, I'm sure, was wetting his pants that he wanted to keep it a workplace violence, just like Fort Hood. And, you know, the FBI sort of got around him on it and said, no, this isn't workplace. This is full-blown terrorist. And, you know, somebody slipped up on the vetting of letting the ugly broad in. It was a good thing for 2 years she kept her face covered, because she would have scared people, you know. She could have easily been something that we used for Halloween. But anyway, with that being said, I think this is going to, this may, you don't want to say this may turn out to be good, and I don't mean it, it was terrible, but I think Comey seems to be, the head of the FBI, seems to be wanting to connect the dots. And
well, he certainly got several thousand agents working on it.
Mm-hmm.
And they came out and said, you know, at the beginning that this would be a very slow, methodical process, and they would go where the evidence led. You know, that's exactly the statement that you want your chief law enforcement officers to say, you know.
Sure.
Investigate and go where the investigation leads.
And what did your girlfriend say about it all? Old Hillary says, gun control, it wouldn't have happened if they hadn't had guns. No, they would have used the bombs, the pipe bombs that they'd been building. Or who knows what they would have used, you know?
Yeah. Fox News said, well, doesn't the president know pipe bombs are illegal too?
Probably not.
Probably not. What is an assault weapon? Maybe after the break you can come back and define what an assault weapon is to me. I'm not sure that I know.
Well, we're going to take a break, and then when we get back on the Dan and Dave Show, we'll discuss assault weapons.
All right. Affordable health insurance was the promise of Obamacare, but for many, the government mandate caused more problems than it solved. This is Dr. Elena George from Medicine on Call, and I want to tell you about a truly affordable alternative allowed under Obamacare, Liberty HealthShare. Liberty HealthShare bypasses doctor and hospital panels, giving you the freedom to choose, and with a maximum of $500 out-of-pocket per person and 100% coverage up to $1 million per year per occurrence, you can rest assured knowing you and your family are protected. Coverage starts as low as $107 per month and also includes dental, vision, pharmacy, and holistic care. Liberty HealthShare puts you back in charge of your health. Visit them online at libertyoncall.org. Again, for a true affordable alternative to Obamacare, visit libertyoncall.org or call toll-free 1-800-714-6993 today.
When four members of Congress all die within 4 months, each of their deaths appears to be from natural causes. But when mysterious messages begin to appear in the form of quotations from long-dead revolutionary heroes, one reporter sets out to prove the existence of a serial killer. His search discovers dark secrets and an assassin shielded by people who need the very services that only he can provide. The Sun Silas Rising, a novel by Doug Dahlgren, on Kindle or paperback through Amazon.com.
Did you miss a show that you really wanted to hear? All of our programs are available for download on AmericasWebRadio.com and on iTunes. You can listen to your favorite programs on AmericasWebRadio.com anytime you like.
Hello, I'm Pat Rulo, hostess of Speak Up and Stay Alive, the voice for patient safety. Now heard every Thursday morning at 9 a.m. right here at AmericasWebRadio.com.
You're listening to AmericasWebRadio.com, the pioneer and leader in chat radio. Thank you for listening.
And we do. Every morning, Dan wakes up and bows to the east and thanks all the people between the left coast and the right coast. Thanks them for listening every Monday to the Dan and Dave Show. Only on America's Web. Okay, so you want to talk about what is an assault weapon, assault rifle. Is it one that somebody, or old rifle that somebody picks up and beats somebody else over the head with? That would be an assault weapon, wouldn't it?
Well, yeah, it's an assault weapon. It's not an assault rifle, necessarily. So, but an assault weapon, defined by Wikipedia, is it says that the definition can vary between regulating jurisdictions. But usually it refers to a semi-automatic firearm with a detachable magazine and a pistol grip, and sometimes other features such as a flash suppressor or barrel shroud. Why would you need a pistol grip to make it an assault weapon?
You know,
so that you can operate it one hand, in one hand,
I just realized something's missing in that definition, too. Is that assault weapon a .22 caliber? Is it a, you know, .30 caliber?
Yeah.
Is it a .40 caliber?
Yeah.
Is it what, you know, so wouldn't that be part of the, you're going to do a hell of a lot more damage with a, what, a 7.26 or whatever it is than you are with a 22 long rifle or a 22 long shell, you know? So shouldn't, yeah. if you're saying an assault weapon, assault rifle, shouldn't you identify the caliber as well?
Yeah, you would think that that would be in there, and it would also include automatic firearms.
Yeah.
And it would also include not just a detachable magazine, but an extra large magazine, a high capacity magazine, or whatever they're called.
Yeah, like the 100 round magazines.
Yeah, it's kind of a loosey goosey definition, guys. I think they need to tighten it up because, you know, I may have an assault weapon in my gun safe. I don't think I do have one that qualifies, but you never know.
You made a point too. The hand grip. I tell you what, the M1 carbine didn't have any hand grip, and if you take an M1 carbine in and start spraying bullets, I would classify that as an assault weapon.
Yeah.
I think you can't identify it. That's baloney.
You could make a pretty broad definition to include a lot of weapons, or you could make it really tight that would include just a few weapons. But Obama wants to ban assault weapons no matter.
He wants to call everything an assault weapon, you know? A semi-automatic pistol, you know? That's an assault weapon. It has a... It has a magazine. It holds 9-10 rounds. So it must be an assault weapon.
Grip.
And a hand grip, certainly. It'd be hard to... I wonder if he's going to include blow darts from where he came from. Poison darts with the blowgun. You know, if you were at the receiving end of a poison dart, you'd think that was a terrorist attack too, wouldn't you?
Yeah, or a pipe bomb.
Or a pipe bomb.
You know, if the terrorists don't have access to assault weapons, they're going to use something.
Like saying the mafia is going to not... That's like saying the criminals aren't going to have access to guns. Bull! If a terrorist wants a gun, they're going to bring them over from Mexico.
But even if they didn't, even if the Tooth Fairy came down and took away all of our assault weapons, they're going to use something because they want to kill people.
That's right.
It's not a logical thing. I'm sorry for the people that got killed, and I think it's a huge tragedy. And I think not enough attention has been given to the human tragedy. I think too much attention is being given to the terrorists. And I hate the terrorists getting all of this attention. That's what they want.
You're right. You're 100% right.
They want the publicity.
You're right. And it started immediately with Obama and Hillary. As he was in an interview when it started last week, and the first words out of his mouth is, "We have to have gun control." That's just beyond my imagination. And I do want to bring up one other subject that you mentioned, the Tooth Fairy, a minute ago. I'm a little upset. I just realized over the last 4 or 5 years I've lost a couple of teeth, probably because of age, and I didn't get anything under my pillow. I'm not sure the Tooth Fairy exists anymore.
It does cause some doubt, doesn't it? I've had some secret doubts along that same line, but I was a little ashamed to admit it. So I'm glad that you were a big boy and spoke your mind this morning. You know, that kind of thing you don't hear on any other talk show.
That's true. And there's probably a reason for it.
Yeah, we go from terrorism to Tooth Fairies in a blink of a...
I thought you put Tooth Fairy and Obama in the same sentence. He makes about as much sense as a Tooth Fairy. And has about as much bite as what the Tooth Fairy's paying off. Let me ask, his speech last night, do you think that scared the hell out of ISIS anywhere in the world?
I don't know. There just wasn't any. There wasn't much bite to it.
It's my understanding that they got 4 yawns in the Muslim community, and that was about it. The rest of them were asleep.
What about this statement? To begin with, Congress should act to make sure that no one on a no-fly list is able to buy a gun.
Well, they haven't even got that. They haven't gotten that right. Ted Kennedy was even on the no-fly list. And it took almost a year for him to get his name taken off of it.
It would seem to me that would be logical, and I was surprised that somebody on a no-fly list could buy a gun. But
neither one of those people was on the no-fly list. They're grabbing at straws, in my opinion. And I think I know better than the idiot president does at this point. But in my opinion, the only way we're going to do anything in the United States with this is to go back to they had in New York with Mayor Giuliani, infiltration of mosques, infiltrations of Muslim communities, and more people listening and paying attention to what's going on. I've never been a... If you have something to hide, then you have a real problem with the NSA. I have nothing to hide. I have no problem with them listening to every damn call I make. I'm sure they wouldn't like some of them.
And they do.
And they probably... Well, I don't know that they're... not now they're not, you know.
That's true.
They have access to them, but they're not listening. I don't care if they're listening. In fact, I would like for them to listen to America's Web Radio. It could double our audience, maybe. We'd have four people or something, you know? So, the only way we're going to solve it here is to find out about it and go in, destroy them in their house. And like Trump says, if it's taking the whole damn, you know, I don't care if there's a woman there. If she's right in the middle of it, she should be dead meat as well. So, you know, and that's the only way we're going to do it here. And the same thing applies in the Middle East. And, you know, I was listening to Senator Graham, I'm not a big Lindsey supporter, but he's right. If we commit anything to the Middle East at this point, then we better commit it for the long term. Whether it's there are 250 soldiers that they're sending in now, special ops people, or we wind up sending in what we need, which is probably 20,000 people. We clean it up once again, but we stay there. We don't walk out. We don't tell them on December the 18th we're leaving. We stay there, and when the head pops up out of the dirt hole that they're from, you cut it off. You shoot it. And then we won't have the problem.
I heard on the news this morning that the ISIS commander, al-Baghdadi, or whatever his name is possibly investigating other areas to set its government up in outside Syria in case Syria gets too hot.
Libya.
So I think ISIS thinks that they're going to be around for the long haul. I'm hearing that from a lot of military people. You know, they're not looking at this as a short commitment.
Well, you know, whether it's called ISIS or Al-Qaeda or Hamas or whatever, you know, they can come up with a noodle soup again tomorrow and be pop their heads up in under a different name. But that's what I'm saying. We can't walk away from it. If we feel like they, being the Muslims, the Talheads, are a threat in general, then we shouldn't walk away. We should always have troops there of some sort, enough to take care of anything and enough in the reserve behind us that they can be brought in to clean up any mess that needs to be cleaned up. Well, Dan, we have other topics to talk about, and we're going to talk about them when we come back.
The Docs for Patient Care Foundation is your way to join the fight and become a member of an organization created by doctors for patients, dedicated to fighting for your healthcare freedom and preserving the doctor-patient relationship. Get a pen and paper. Write down docsforpatientcarefoundation.org. That's D-O-C-S, the number 4, patientcarefoundation.org. Go to our site and please make a generous tax-deductible donation and join the fight today. Thank you.
Don't be hoodwinked by the left, who wants you to believe the fairy tale that we can power America on butterflies, rainbows, and pixie dust. I'm Marita Noon. Get the truth about energy on my show, America's Voice for Energy, only on America's Web Radio.
The United States Justice Foundation, since 1979, has been dedicated to instructing, informing, and educating the public on legal issues confronting America. That means you and me. When necessary, this nonprofit organization has had to litigate to present the constitutional view. Since 1980, USJF has submitted testimony to the U.S. Senate on all but one U.S. Supreme Court nominee. Learn more about USJF by visiting their website at www.usjf.net. Support this nonprofit as it defends our rights, our liberty, and our Constitution.
You're listening to AmericasWebRadio.com, the pioneer and leader in chat radio. Thank you for listening.
And welcome back to the Dan and Dave Show, heard exclusively on America's Web Radio. They're the only ones that would give us a job, so we took it. And the pay is great. What do we pay them to air the show, Dan?
That is exclusive, isn't it? Yeah. You know, it's a bargain. Whatever we pay them, they're worth. I mean, We're worth.
We're worth paying for.
We're worth it. That's right.
We couldn't get out of jail card free if we stole a Monopoly set, could we?
So, let me just, I know this president speech thing is getting to be kind of annoying to everybody.
But wait a second. What would the Indians have called what Obama says, man, speak with forked tongue?
Right at the end of his speech, where he says, my fellow Americans, he says, we were founded upon a belief in human dignity. I like that. We were. And that no matter who you are or where you come from or what you look like or what religion you practice, I like those things. I agree. You are equal in the eyes of God and equal in the eyes of the law. Are we really equal in the eyes of God? I guess in a lot of ways we are. That just kind of stuck out in my ear when he said that. It's kind of like, whoa, how does he know about the eyes of God, you know? I don't know. Do you have any feeling about that or any feedback for me? It just rubbed me wrong,
you know,
for some reason, and I'm not sure why.
I think, like some others had sort of, he didn't do that speech for you or me. He did it for Mr. Obama because he screwed up so many times at this point, like when he was saying we have them controlled and 2 seconds later all hell breaks out in Paris. You know, the guy's trying to cover his own black butt, and he's not doing a very good job of it, and that's what, you know, his speech writers, he didn't write that speech, his speech writers wrote it, and they're trying to make him sound like the good Christian that he is. And he must have changed some words, because I came away from it saying, you know, he is a Muslim. If not, he certainly protects the Muslims. And that's, you know, this was a Muslim speech. It was, we're at fault. America's at fault, so we got to take care of the Muslims, and we shouldn't be nasty to them, and we shouldn't look at them strange. And even though the FBI says if you see something, say something, don't do it if it's in regard of Muslims. And I think this is, you know,
if we go back to a 10,000 foot view or a 30,000 foot view, Obama is exactly the right president at exactly the right time. You know, here he is. He's a black man, and you know, he probably is a Muslim, or he knows he was raised as a Muslim, so he identifies with that religion. You know, he's exactly the right guy at the right time to understand what's going on in the world. He should be a real leader, but he's a divider. He's divisive. He fits one side against the other. But, you know, he was designed to be just the right president, and I think that's probably why a lot of people are really disappointed in him. He didn't come through.
Understatement.
He didn't deliver the goodies.
Understatement.
Yeah. So you want to talk about happy holidays, David.
Happy holidays.
Happy holidays.
You know, this PC thing, and this leads into it, actually. There were some neighbors of the shooters in San Bernardino that said, you know, they saw strange things happening but they didn't want to say anything because they didn't want to be accused of being racist or, you know. And the media, whoever the hell they are, have PC'd us right to death. And
yeah, right.
You know, and I have this thing about saying, by the way, I want to wish everybody that's listening Merry Christmas. Now, if somebody's going to go lock down my door because I just said Merry Christmas, if you don't want to listen, don't listen. And this thing about holiday tree. Bull. It's a Christmas tree. You light it, it looks like, you know, it's a fir or a pine or whatever it is, and you light it up, you decorate it. Do you walk into your house, Dan, and say, oh, I have a beautiful holiday tree? No. You walk in and say, hey, honey, what do you think of the way we did the Christmas tree? You know, this is just, it's carried beyond. And the stupid bitch that walked out in the city council thing resigned because they were going to call it a Christmas tree instead of a holiday tree. You know, good riddance to the bitch. And as soon as she walked out the door, she realized, oops, I just gave up my $30,000 a year job. I better get back and apologize. As long as they call it a holiday tree and not a Christmas tree. This is garbage. You know, they don't...
Well, I enjoy going around shopping this time of the year because invariably the clerk says, well, have a happy holiday. And I look them right in the eye and I say, yeah, and you have a Merry Christmas. You know, and they've been told, I think, by their employers to say happy holiday.
Oh, yeah.
I think the clerk probably would have preferred saying Merry Christmas. But, you know, they're restricted, I think, in most cases, by the employer.
And that's garbage.
It's garbage. It's garbage. It's Christmas. I'm sorry. It's Christmas. It's Christmas. It's Christmas. It's been Christmas, and it will continue to be Christmas.
At our houses, anyway. And I think this thing of you can't have a manger scene, you can't have, you know, on public property, or you can't do this. You know, I don't want Kwanzaa marching down the street then. I don't want the gays marching down my street. I don't want, you know, I don't want them standing on my sidewalk. I don't want... What's, you know, the Christians don't infringe by having the nativity scene. They don't infringe. If you don't like it, don't go look at it. Very simple. If you don't like what,
you know,
I'm saying on radio,
like,
don't listen.
I would like to see the cross on government property, and I would like to see, you know, Christmas used on government property, but... I wonder, maybe we shouldn't do that. I, you know, let's talk about that for a minute. Should we have a cross on a county courthouse? I remember in the town I was brought up in, you know, it was a conservative southwest small town, and, you know, there was a manger scene right out in front of the courthouse.
Yeah.
And it was a very Christian manger scene. And people came and sang, you know, the traditional songs and worshipped in their Christian tradition, and everybody was happy.
And where were the atheists? At home watching TV. They didn't care, you know. They don't want to go. Don't go, you know.
Don't go. Yeah. Just ignore it, guys. It'll be over in a little bit.
Yeah, and. Then again, why should we watch the crap that, you know, I don't go to the, Atlanta is notorious for having their big gay and lesbian or whatever parade. You know what, Dan? I don't go, because I don't want to. If I went, I might be carrying one of those assault weapons or something, who knows. But, you know, you just don't go. I don't like what I'm watching on TV. Click. I ain't watching it any longer. I'm not going to go break my television because I had chosen the wrong channel to begin with. This whole thing is just... one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. Hello? Where did I make that up from?
Yeah, seems like I've heard that before.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. It kind of makes you dizzy, doesn't it?
Yeah, and I'm sorry, but they can say what they want about freedom of speech, and they, you know, baloney. And the majority best start wagging the tail of the dog instead of the tail wagging the dog. We need to speak up. We need to shut them up. And if they don't like it, then all of this crap started with that stupid bitch and that you couldn't say a prayer in school. Well, I'm sorry, but I think you can. I think you should. In fact, I think you should.
I'm going to have to get one of those. Do we have a 5-second delay on this program? And can I have a, you know, when you use the
I don't trust
word,
you with
I
the button.
It?
I don't trust you with the button.
You don't trust me.
You'd hold it down on my side all the time, and
I would. When you started speaking, I'd hit that button. I'd say, oh my goodness, he's going to say one of the B words, or, yeah.
Well, you know what I'm talking about. That stupid lady that, and why the Supreme Court ever went along with it, I'll never know. I mean, just, you know, again, if you don't like a prayer at a football game, then stick your fingers in the holes in the helmet. I don't care. Don't listen. Go get you a Coke. Go to the bathroom. You know, if 90 out of 100 want to say a prayer at a football game, why should the 10% dictate? I've never been able to understand. I thought we were a democracy, which in turn means the right to vote and the majority rules. Is that not what a democracy is for all practical purposes?
Yeah, but we're a republic, not a democracy. But
okay, so the republic, it's the same thing. It's the, you know, you still have the rule of numbers, not 10% telling 90% what to do. And that's been the case now since 1955, 1990, and then really getting
bad.
It
seems like the Jews were on the short end of the numbers at one time, and they paid a pretty harsh price, so I'm not sure that majority rule is the right rule. Might makes right, I guess. I don't know. It's complicated. It's complicated. It's a pretty puzzling place that we live in. And good luck to everybody figuring it out for themselves. It gets confusing. At least on this side of the world.
Well, on the left coast, I can understand it.
Yeah, we get confused over here.
Yeah, very easily. So, you know, my thing is I'd like to throw rocks at anybody that doesn't like a Christmas tree, that wants to quit their job. Let them quit their job. Move on.
You sound a lot like Donald Trump. Is this Donald? Is this the Don I'm talking to? Do you go by an alternate name, Dave?
Dave wishes that he had Donald's money.
Yeah.
And his wife ain't bad either, but we don't want to go in
that
there.
That guy is still leading in the polls. He's amazing.
Well, because,
he is,
you know,
amazing.
He's saying what, heaven forbid, the majority want to hear. With that being said, it's time to take another one of those breaks. So we're going to be back on the Dan and Dave show right after this.
The disease of addiction is a life-altering challenge, not just for the person suffering its effects, but also for the family and friends who support and love the one caught in its grasp. What should be the course of treatment? Who is the best person to render treatment? And what is the best place to go for the care that is needed? We know that you want answers to these and many more questions. call 770-696-9862 and speak to a representative of the Atlanta Healing Center. They can tailor a program specifically designed to address the needs of the person suffering with an addiction, or give you guidance as to where that help may be found. Information is the key, and the trained staff at AHC is here to assist. If you wish, you can also get more information on the website located at www.atlantahealingcenter.com.
Whether cruising the strip in a 57 Chevy or taking the family on a vacation in a 71 Oldsmobile Vista Cruiser, you need to tune in to Classic Cars with Steve Ronaldo and Jim Weber every Saturday from 8 to 9 a.m. on americaswebradio.com.
This is Michael Connelly inviting you to listen each Wednesday at 4 p.m. Eastern to my show, Our Constitution, only on America's Web Radio.
The Docs for Patient Care Foundation is your way to join the fight and become a member of an organization created by doctors for patients, dedicated to fighting for your healthcare freedom and preserving the doctor-patient relationship. Get a pen and paper. Write down www.docsforpatientcarefoundation.org. That's www.docsforpatientcarefoundation.org. Go to our site and please make a generous tax-deductible donation and join the fight today. Thank you.
You're listening to AmericasWebRadio.com, the pioneer and leader in chat radio. Thank you for listening.
And thank you for listening is right. We appreciate it. And you're listening to America's Web Radio. And, you know, it's funny. And by the way, you can pick up this if you haven't gotten enough of it and you want to listen to this show again and have your laughs and get your guns off. Well, we're on iTunes now. We're on America's Web Radio Archives. You can just download Dan anytime you want to.
Yeah, you better give me that delay button or whatever you call it, the burp button or the fart button or whatever it is. If we're going to be on iTunes, I need some protection here. I may just hit the button when I'm talking so nobody can hear what I'm saying. Who knows?
You don't have to do that. I've taken care of that.
Maybe I'll just use the button on both of us, and it'll be a blank hour, for four stimulating commercials.
I got to ask you something. Now, this has happened to me twice recently. I mean, once was yesterday, and once was last week at the hospital. But, you know, and I don't know why. It's got to be me. But when we were in the waiting room at the hospital, and there was this, I told you about this, this realtor that he was so loud he was taking over the entire waiting room. And it was just,
yep.
I was ready to go over and kill the guy. Then yesterday, we were at a restaurant, and obviously, I know if you go with friends to a restaurant, gee, you're going to talk. But there were three ladies, and I use the term loosely, that were next to our table, that were so loud that we could barely, we didn't want to shout over them, but the three of us could barely talk because of these ladies next to us. And I don't know why that has started to get on my, it's like the don't use your cell phone in here. And I can understand why people get upset with somebody talking on this. But these ladies were just obnoxiously loud. How does that affect me? How do you feel about that?
Well, I don't think it's only ladies. But I think groups of people that are obnoxious. My wife and I go to our favorite restaurant on a pretty regular basis, and usually we get there before the crowds hit, but occasionally there'll be a group of men or women,
mm-hmm.
And it seems like it's the loudest when they're all the same sex. Like a group of women are much louder than if you have mixed couples, men and women, at the table.
Yeah, because a woman won't let the guy say anything.
That's next week's show.
Oh.
That's an hour right there, my friend. Yeah.
I just can't, and, I looked at them a couple of times, and, it's just, why be so rude? And I didn't want them to stop talking. That's their right. That's a privilege.
You pull over a chair and join in. You know, be friendly. Be social.
I've been
trying to get you to be a friendly guy ever since I met you way back in college. You got to be friendly.
Friendly. Does friendly with a 1911 as it's going off and you see the flash, is that being friendly to somebody that's talking too loud?
That could be an assault weapon, and the president said that's a no-no.
I learned how to say yes in Korean while my son was here. And you know what yes is in Korean?
No.
Nay.
I mean yes.
Nay. Nay.
Nay?
Is yes. Nay. You don't think that's not a backwards country? Nay. Yeah.
That's
the only word of Korean that I know at this point. Nay.
Well, you better watch what you're saying yes to.
That's true. That's very true. I want some of that. Nay, nay. But anyway, so be it.
Yeah.
So you had another subject that you wanted to bring up. Did I remember you saying that? Or did you already bring it up?
I have nothing to talk about.
This is it? We got to close down? We turn off the board?
Take an extra long commercial.
Nay.
Let's see. I could talk about my... what can I talk about? Give me a subject.
Your Christmas tree.
Yeah. My wife has a Christmas tree.
What do you have on the top of your Christmas tree?
You know, the Christmas tree is so tall this year that it just barely is below the ceiling. And so we have a star up there, but it's kind of off-center below the peak. And I'm not allowed to get up there with my clipper and clip that little branch because it's the perfect branch. So I can't clip it.
And
you have an angel or
no? And this sort of upsets me. I must say this about I don't know how many years ago, and I guess my wife looks at it like she gave in to me for. I grew up, and on the top of our Christmas tree, we always had an angel. Period.
Yeah,
end of
us
story.
Too. Yeah,
know?
Me too. Us too.
And someplace about. 5 years ago, we decided, or we, we being 90% my wife's decision, and I don't even know that I was asked, but we decided to go with a more, how would I say it?
Contemporary.
That's exactly the word I was looking for.
Contemporary
tree. That has big balls on it, and it has this, and it has that. And so now we have, I don't know, 8 or 10 roosters for some reason that are at the top of our tree. I'm not even sure roosters are Christian as they're getting their necks wrung for dinner, you know? So, it wasn't a battle. There never was even a skirmish. That was the way it was to be. And we have also gone high tech, and that the tree stays. It's already pre-lit, and I'm not pre-lit. I have to get lit on my own. But the tree is. You fold out the branches, and the lights are there. And you plug that sucker in, and you put the balls on it, and the roosters. And we do have a very contemporary, we have a modern tree.
Well, my wife's girlfriend, her best friend, who is married, and they're about our age, so, they've been through many Christmas trees. She let her husband do the tree this year, so now the tree... The tree goes around, it revolves, and it has flashing lights that are programmed to be all different colors.
Well, that's cool.
And Jan says it's the most obnoxious-looking tree. but she could see me doing a tree like that. I'm saying, what? Leave me out of this. I'm not part of this conversation. But that's what happens when you do a man tree.
Oh, well, I tell you, I used to like, and now we don't have any of them anymore. We do have a couple of ornaments that are school, university-oriented. I guess that's a nice way to say it. But I used to like the honky tree that we'd have a big tree that was spread out, you know, I don't know, 5-6 feet wide or something. And sort of like you, or sort of like me anyway, short and fat. But, you know, we'd have it, and we'd put the kids' thing, their ornaments that they had made in school, and many times they didn't look like much, but they meant something, you know? I did, you know, a five-year-old coming up, I did this for you, Daddy, in school, or I did this for the Christmas tree in school. You know, it might not have looked like that $20 ornament that we bought at Hallmark, but, well, actually, it in many cases, it looked like about a $15,000 or $20,000 ornament, because that's what we were paying them to be in private school. So those were pretty expensive yeah, ornaments, come to think of it. I never looked at it like that. But
I may look dig at the ornament, it would remind you of the debt, huh?
Yeah, I may dig some of those suckers out and put them back on the tree.
You know, speaking of schools, we need to wish the Red Raiders a very Merry Christmas.
Why?
Texas Tech Red Raiders, the best of the best, and Merry Christmas to you this season.
What did they do?
Well, they had a bye this weekend, didn't they?
Did they win it?
I think they did. I think they got a great football team, and next year, if they could just get a defense, they could win a game or two.
But you think?
Merry Christmas. Merry Christmas, Texas Tech.
Oh, good.
I feel kind of nostalgic for Texas Tech all of a sudden. A tear came to my eye.
You want to go back?
Maybe.
We'll send you back.
Yeah. I have some uncompleted business there, like all those classes that I missed and all those assignments I didn't do.
Oh, yeah. Well, memories. Anyway, I hate to say it, Dan, but it's time to put the old proverbial plug in the jug and move on down the street.
Okay, well, I'm going to go eat breakfast.
You haven't had your oatmeal yet?
It is raining cats and dogs here.
Oh, yeah, I saw that in the news. There are even flood warnings or flood watches for the left coast.
Wow, I can see that right in my own backyard. We have pools of water. I didn't even know it was raining, and I just looked out.
Predicting something like 8 inches in your area.
Ooh.
Yeah, big time.
Yeah.
Big time. Well, Dan, thank you as always. And may I add to this, Merry Christmas, my good friend.
Yeah, Merry Christmas to you and your family.
We will be back next week on the Dan and
Dave Show.
It's Dave Show. See you later.